Hi, and welcome to the Changing Perspectives podcast, the show where we discuss a variety of topics, including grief, parenting, relationships, mental health, and pop culture. Join us and explore a number of changing perspectives. We're your hosts, Jenny and Josh Brennan. Hi, Jenny.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good.
Are you feeling good post-workout right now?
Well, I am. Mm-hmm.
It was arm day. Mm-hmm. No, it was chest and back day for both of us.
Correct. Yeah. It's... I was going to say it's nice when our schedules line up, but it doesn't really change anything because we don't work out together.
That's true.
There are a few couples there, and they always work out together, and they like swap reps and stuff like that, and yeah. It's cute. But I don't like to talk to anybody, even you, when I'm working out.
But I'd like to do that at some point.
Maybe. I feel like it takes longer than...
I was just going to say that. Like, we have an hour, basically, mm-hmm. if that, sometimes. And if we worked out together, it would take a while.
Yeah. I also like to just zone out, so I can't zone out if I'm talking to you.
I get that. I do like texting you about people that have funny form at the gym.
Yeah, I didn't think you were going to tell people that we do that, because now if anyone knows us and they're at the gym and see us texting, they're gonna be like, who are they talking about?
Are they talking about me?
Chances are no, because the people that we're talking about do not have any insight and do not know.
And probably don't listen to podcasts.
Right.
Hey, it's episode 99.
Someone could have talked about me the day I fell off of the pull-up machine.
You just talked over what I said.
I did. Sorry. Let's go.
Someone probably did talk. They probably still talk about that girl that fell off.
They're like, oh, that girl that fell off the pull-up machine was there today.
So anyway, I just said, it's episode 99. Welcome, everybody.
We really need to think about something.
I don't know.
Or not.
Or not. We're just going to be like, it's 100. We'll do something fun. I don't know. You know what?
Catch us for episode 200.
No, you know what? We'll do some sort of giveaway. Okay, that's easy. Episode 100. Tune in next week. This will come out on October 12th, so we're thinking October 19th.
Yeah, but then it will be
for the 100th episode of the Changing Perspectives podcast will drop, and we will do some giveaways.
But it will drop on the Helium Radio Network on Monday the 25th.
Yes.
So winners probably won't be announced until October 31st or something. We'll figure this out.
Okay. But 100 episodes of the Changing Perspective podcast. It took us a little bit longer than we thought to get here, but we're here. We're back, and mm-hmm. we're figuring it out. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome. Sign up for the newsletter, everybody, changingperspectivesonline.com. Jenny puts out some awesome content weekly Wednesday wisdoms. And then a bigger newsletter comes out as well with all kinds of great content. Helium Radio Network, Jenny just reminded everybody, Mondays, 6:30 Eastern on the Life Improvement Channel. You can find replays of the Changing Perspectives podcast. And as always, we are brought to you by BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. BetterHelp is an online counseling resource who makes professional counseling accessible, affordable, and convenient. They offer four ways to get licensed counseling through video sessions, phone call, live chat, and messaging. As everyone knows all too well, the past year and a half has been challenging, to say the least, and the broad expertise of the BetterHelp Counselor Network could provide anyone struggling with life's challenges the help they need anytime, anywhere. Whatever struggles you're facing, whether it's depression, grief and loss, anxiety, BetterHelp.com can provide you the counselor that's the right fit. In fact, when you head on over to BetterHelp.com/changingperspectives, you can fill out a survey so they can match you with a mental health professional that will meet your needs. Listen, you may not have the access to the help you need where you are in the world. BetterHelp allows you the opportunity to access resources from all over. Visit BetterHelp.com/changingperspectives. After signing up, you'll be matched with a counselor in 24 hours or less. Again, visit BetterHelp.com/changingperspectives. I'll add a little bit something to the live read this week as a reminder. Hopefully you listened to our episode a few weeks ago on men's mental health. Listen, if it wasn't for virtual resources like BetterHelp, I wouldn't have sought out the help and got the help I needed, that I've been, benefiting from over the better part of the last year. So, you're listening to, somebody that is benefiting from virtual help. So take advantage, everybody. Okay.
But it's help from real people.
Yes.
Just, yes. You don't have to be in person.
Yeah. So Jenny, for episode 99, we figured we'd do a parenting episode. We haven't done one of those in a little bit. And we wanted to talk today about enjoying parenting even when it's hard, even those hard times, those challenging times. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit and ask you to talk a little bit about the article you wrote about a special delivery.
Okay. All right. So I think I wrote it better than I'm going to talk about it.
So go check out Changing Perspectives on Facebook.
Yeah, it's pinned. I pinned it at the top.
Where else can they find this article, though? It's on HerView, correct? Or no?
HerView shared it on their Facebook page, and I think it's actually going up on their website Friday. I feel like I have something going up for them on Friday.
HerView from home is what we're talking about.
But I think Love What Matters shared it. Today Parenting shared it. I think Filter Free Parents shared it. I think I put it on my website, too. I don't know. It's out there.
So this is...
Read it on my TikTok.
Yeah, you did read it on your TikTok. So The Changing Perspectives on TikTok for great content. Your TikTok is getting very active, and I'm very happy for you.
It's weird.
You have some good, like, great
content. It's a stretch for me.
But I think that the point is this micro or little article that you wrote about this actual thing that happened to us is a parenting topic, but it's gotten a lot of traction and people are really interested in it.
Well, and I keep coming back to it in my head too. I think it came at a really good time. So It was probably a month ago or so now. We had just, the four of us had just gotten home from a weekend of football. Actually, I think we were still in the middle of it. And so like we literally had just gotten home. It looked like our house had had a bomb go off from like Dick's Sporting Goods. There was football helmets and football pads and cleats and socks and jerseys and water bottles and sling bags everywhere. Like when you open our front door, you open it into our dining room, and that is the holding ground for that's not a thing, holding ground. The the space, I don't know what I'm looking to say.
It was like the calm before the football storm.
No, it was the middle. It was the eye of the storm.
The eye of the storm.
But that's like where everything gets prepped. So everyone's uniforms and stuff gets like my foot. So we're going to a game later tonight. That's on the dining room table. That's where we prep. So clearly we don't use our dining room table for food. We just use it for storing everyone's things.
During football season, we don't eat in the dining room.
So it probably also smelled really bad because it was in the midst of the weekend. And our Ring doorbell went off, and I never answer the door. None of us answer the door. Like, if you're ringing my doorbell, you weren't invited, right? Because otherwise, if you were invited, you're just going to walk in, and you're not ringing the doorbell.
I think that's pretty much the world now.
Well, I think there's a lot of people that actually answer their door. I don't. If you're ringing, you're trying to sell me something, I'm going to be not interested, or I don't know, you're telling me my dog got loose, but I know it didn't because I see my dog. So there's really no reason. And if my house is on fire, you can shout that, but I'm not going to open the door. But for some reason, I opened the door that night because I was like, oh, it's 8:30. I should see who's on my door. And it was the Amazon guy, a very old Amazon guy.
Prime delivery.
I had ordered dog allergy chews, and Amazon was like, hey, if you order this in the next minute, we'll get them there tonight. And I was like, whatever, sure. And they really did. And he was one of those people that just wanted to talk. And so he was asking me like, where am I, what town am I in, and how do I get to the highway? And then I don't know why, but he was telling me he stopped for a Greek salad and was telling me all about the pizza place. And I was like, oh, they're actually my favorite Greek salad.
He was asking us about, like, I got this Greek salad from this local place here in your town. Is it good?
Yeah. Kind of thing. And I was like, it's my favorite. It's kind of small.
What if we had said no?
I know. And then
you're not going to want to eat that, buddy.
And then he was just chit-chatting. Yeah. And then you walked around the corner kind of like all puffed up, like, what is going on? You didn't say that, but I felt your energy.
But you were at the door with a strange guy.
Yeah. And then you saw it's an old man and you were like, oh, Jenny's just being like a therapist. Like, because sometimes when I meet new people, I don't know what it is, but they talk.
You worked in nursing homes.
I did. Right. Mm-hmm. And
a past life a couple years ago.
Right. Right. And there's a connection. I have a connection with elderly men. And so I think you were like, oh, this is just one of those situations, whatever. Yeah. And then he like read the room and saw the mess behind us. And so started talking about football. Yeah. And then he started talking about him playing football. And then he was like, you never know how much you're going to miss it until you hang up your cleats for the last time. And I was like, ugh. And he said, how many kids do you have? And I said, we have two and they both play football. And he said, I have two sons too. Well, I had two sons, but one of them died in the military.
And suddenly the two grief specialists in the room were like, oh,
right.
This is why we opened the door.
This is why we opened the door. This is why we're having a conversation. And the whole thing is captured on our Ring cam. So like I have the entire conversation and actually the picture I paired with the article is a screen grab from the Ring cam, but I didn't put his face in because it's his story. I didn't want to disclose anything personal. But it sort of shifted our perspective, or for me, I'll speak for myself. It was a great reminder that these days are not going to be here for very long. And we're not going to be in the midst of football really for much longer. Mm. Not just this year, but in general, because they're getting older
Our oldest literally has 2.5 years left and he's done.
If he decides to continue even playing football. But like, it was just a reminder that life is really short, that these like parenting years, whether it's toddlers or elementary school or middle or high school or college, they're fleeting. They're really short. And at some point they're behind you and then your kids are adults and anything can happen. Right. Mm-hmm. So it was sort of this like double reminder that, parenting children, like the children years is short, but also just life in general is really fragile. So I wrote it and I think it speaks to a lot of parents and I think we all can benefit sometimes from that reminder that like it might stink right now. It might be really stressful to be in the midst of whatever you're in the midst of and literally have your house smell like rotten animals in a bag during football season and to not be able to have dinner on a dining room table. But it's just a brief little moment in time. So we were talking today about like, what should we talk about? And you've been sort of wanting to circle back to that article. And I think it sort of creates a space for a larger conversation about the fact that like parenting is really hard in every stage. I don't think it's easier. It gets a different kind of hard, bigger kids, bigger problems, that kind of stuff. But how can you appreciate those moments? How can you enjoy it even when it's super hard? Because if you can't find a way to do that, I think you're going to have regret when you look back.
Right. I just want to take another second and encourage everybody, if you hadn't done so already, please go read this article. It's just really well written, Jenny. It's very...
I think I told it much better in writing than I did.
No, it's really good. And, we were talking about... parenting today, but there's a lot about grief and loss that's important in this article. That's really in, it's really well written, and maybe we can come back to this article when we do another grief and loss episode. But I wanted to, first of all, thank this gentleman's son for his service because he died in the military.
Right.
Number one. And then number two, I'm going to read a little passage from this. Pausing to take a deep, shaky breath and rocking back on his heels, he shook his head and said, "You never really get over it. They say you do, but you don't. You think about them when you're driving around. You think about them all the time."
Right.
That's so beautifully said. Well written, Jenny. You captured it really well. So we'll, again, maybe we'll come back to this in a grief episode. But we're going to have to pause this right now and get a dumb dog.
He's not dumb. He's just like, wait a second. Are you recording an episode? I would like to be in there. So yes, we'll pause right here and come back. And I have something to say about that.
Okay.
All righty. I also just wanted to say that what was also beautiful about that exchange with him was his willingness and openness to talk about his loss. Because so, and I think there was sort of a two groups of people that responded to that piece. One was parents who were like, oh, I need that reminder. Or like, you're right, I missed those years of parenting. It does go by so fast. And then there was this other group of parents who were like, I lost a child too, or I've lost children too. And it's nice to be able to talk about them and have someone create space for that. And so he, I don't know, he knew, or maybe he talks about them all the time, but knew somehow that, or was comfortable somehow talking about his grief and his loss, and talking about his son in that way.
So the last half of your article really speaks to that, the parenting piece about, you know, how when it's gone, we'll really miss it, and how you don't really know. In it, it seems messy and gross and smelly and annoying. And but when it's not there anymore, you miss it. So you wrote, "Someday soon he had reminded me those cleats that litter my floor will be hung up for good. The scene behind me will no longer be one of complete chaos, and I'll miss it all." Mm-hmm. Me too, by the way. "I'll miss the messy house. I'll miss the long days. I'll miss the grumpiness after losing games. I'll miss the sheer fatigue after full weeks of practice. I'll miss seeing them play every weekend. I'll miss being a part of their lives in this way. I'll miss it all, and so will they. Life will change, and we can't predict where it will take us. One day, our Saturday nights might be filled with delivering packages instead of rehashing football games and connecting around my kitchen island. So for now, maybe it's best to keep answering the unexpected doorbells. We never know when a little perspective may be waiting for us on the other side." Jenny, so well written.
Oh, thank you.
Anyway, so that's
sorry. There's a dog having a temper tantrum right now.
What is going on?
He heard a car drive by.
Go. Hey, sit.
Okay.
Chill.
He does not know how to chill.
No.
He's like, what is he, like 27 years old? I know. Not in dog years and human years, but he acts like he's 2 months. He's a puppy.
So that's what we really wanted to talk about today, was the perspective of enjoying parenting even when it's hard.
Right.
Right.
I guess within the context of, like, because it all could sort of change in an instant. And I think that I was thinking about that as I was writing the piece, that we sort of experienced that with basketball and our oldest son, right? Like, he played basketball from, I don't know, was he four? I feel like he did like a little tots program at the Y.
Yeah, he started, really young.
So he played for like almost 12 years and loved basketball. Mm-hmm. And so we all were assuming, like, it's going to be so exciting to see him play basketball in high school, like on the freshman team. And then we rolled up to a week before freshman tryouts, and he was like, "I'm not playing basketball anymore." And we were devastated.
Yeah.
Right. And I think it was actually the first like big life decision that he's made that was counter to what we would have wanted him to do. Mm-hmm. And what we expected him to do. And we actually had like huge arguments and debates. And I remember my sister and brother-in-law sat there one day with us, sort of like navigating that with him.
Yeah.
And it was, I don't know, shocking for me, because it was the first, like, I don't know, you envision this path that your children are taking, and it seems like it's going along, but you can never really, you're not really the expert in your child. And I have this article that is half written that at some point I will get to finish and write. And I think people are not going to be happy with it, but we're not experts in our children. We're not. They're the experts in themselves. Like, we can never truly know what it's like to walk in their shoes. We don't know their internal dialogue. We don't know what it's like. And once they go to school, 6, 7, 8, and if they're in high school, 12 hours of their day are without us. We don't know every single thing that happens. And we assumed he was going to continue playing basketball. Mm-hmm. I think he would have been really good and it would have been good for him, but he made that decision. And then ultimately, like, the universe made that decision, because then he came down with mono and was out of sports and school for like a month.
So there was no choice.
So he wasn't going to have been able to do it anyways. And now that he's playing football as a sophomore, I'm like, thank goodness you're not playing basketball, because this season is brutal and you're going to need a break. Because it would have been basketball season as soon as football season is done. And now it gets to be his off season. So turns out he made the right choice.
He did.
Right? Like, we would have made the wrong choice.
And I got to say, you know, we weren't high school athletes. Mm-hmm. We did other things in mm-hmm. high school, all kinds of other activities, you know. But we weren't high school athletes. Right. And I think that's different. Wow. How's your shake, Jenny?
Sorry. I'm really sorry.
Yeah. It's okay. All over the audio.
Sorry.
Shakes being drinking.
Listen, I said this morning was not a good time for me to record. It's busy.
Dogs
and you everything. Pushed me to it's record right now. Okay.
Well, I've lost my train of thought.
Yeah, because you're being a jerk.
What was I going to say? Oh. So we had no real idea about what it would mean to be a three sport high school athlete and an honor student.
Right, because it's, I don't know, we assumed like, oh, it'll be like youth sports, but yeah,
but it's not.
It's not.
And I think, you know, we leaned on our brother and sister-in-law because our brother-in-law was a high school athlete,
right.
And ended up not being a three sport athlete himself, like later in high school, you know, two sport athletes are it's very common,
or even one.
So you have an off season, right? And I think that he'll probably remain a two sport athlete when it's said and done, and have a nice off season in the winter.
I was thinking maybe he wasn't going to play baseball, but his reaction last night to the Red Sox Tampa Bay game was cute. Yeah. I was like, oh, he does still like baseball.
Yeah. But yeah, I think ultimately, just to your point, he's the expert in him, and he ultimately made the right decision.
Right. And I think that's a hard part of parenting. And let's try to talk and not create open space because the DoorDasher is outside with breakfast for our children. Because that's what they wanted to do on this holiday. And I don't want the DOG over there to know that there's someone OUT. Yeah. So what was I saying? Crap. What was I saying? Know. I was going to say something. Sure. I just derailed myself.
you derailed yourself. Well, I wanted to shift gears and talk about our youngest battle.
Okay.
And his obstacle and hardship.
Did you say hopstacle?
I said obstacle.
I think you said hopstacle.
Obstacle. Now, I just is so your sound is still on.
No, that's awesome. It's not on.
Are you sure?
My sound is off.
Is my sound on?
I hope it was yours.
What a hot mess. Oh my God, it's so my sound. Oops.
I will take my apology.
I apologize.
Okay, thank you. So our youngest obstacle.
I apologize. That's from Seinfeld.
Oh.
Yeah, his hopstacle. I just think of beer and hops.
I know. I'm trying to think, like, is that a beer problem? Hopstacle?
Hopstacle should be the name of an IPA from some microbrew.
Somebody get on
TM,
that.
TM, changing perspective.
Yeah, hopstacle.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So, anyway, enjoying parenting when it's hard. And our youngest just went through this.
Well, so I think part of what gets hard as your kids get older is that they become real little humans with their own opinions and their own drive and their own
challenges.
And they make decisions that are maybe not the decisions that you would make as parents, or maybe they're decisions that you think as a parent are just plain wrong. And sometimes as a parent, you might be right. And sometimes you might be wrong. And that's a really hard space. Like, that's the space of parenting that we are living in fully right now.
Yep.
With two teenagers, is like letting them live their life and make decisions and, you know, giving them guidance when they ask for it, but also letting them make mistakes. And because that's where you learn, right? You learn through your mistakes. You learn through your obstacles and your hopstacles and your overcoming challenges. And if you as a parent rush in and do all that for them,
right. Then
you're really doing them a disservice when they make it into adulthood and they don't know how to sit with discomfort. They don't know how to sit with making the wrong choice. They don't know how to sit with regret because they've never been able to do that. But that's a hard place as a parent mm-hmm. to be in right now. And how do you enjoy that?
And it's really easy to, you know, kind of get lost in your own anxiety about something. I'm thinking about actually driving with the oldest because he just got his permit. So we wanted to talk about that. But, you know, maybe my anxiety about a situation, is really not accurate to what the real situation might be. Like they might be in control or might have made a good decision and it's going to be okay. But instead of like taking a step back and thinking about it, and to your point, sort of letting them make their own mistakes and decisions, you might be inaccurately, like you're going to mess up the situation, I feel like, because of your own anxiety.
That is why I'm not allowed to be in the car right now.
Right. But can we talk about our youngest weight loss?
Yes. So he, there's a cat in here too.
Yeah. I know.
And she has learned how to print the test page on the printer. But the printer should be off, so I don't think she knows. I don't think she knows how to do turn it on and then print the test page.
All right, go. We're going to run out of time.
I know. This is our life. we should just live feed this on a day like this so they could see the craziness.
We should definitely have done.
Because she's trying to do Facebook it right now.
Live on this one.
Yes, so he, like most kids, it was a hard, year and a half. School year and a half of being COVID and remote, yeah. Being stuck
like
at home.
People, I feel like,
and he transitioned into middle school, right? And he gained a bunch of weight, and then as football season was nearing, and he was thinking on his own about the weight limit because we're in a football league that has a weight limit, and he grew 7 inches during quarantine.
Yeah, he's taller than me.
He's taller than everybody.
He's tall. He's a big tall kid.
He's one of the tallest in his class. So he hit his growth spurt and just shot up. And also the scale went up because he was eating and wasn't really doing sports because their football season was canceled. But as this football season was nearing, he was like, I really want to make the team. I don't want my weight to be an issue. And I thought that's a huge responsibility, right? Try to drop what was going to be 25 pounds, I think,
12
right?
years old. Yeah.
At 12 years old to drop 25 pounds within a few months. But that's what he wanted to do. And we had to say, we'll support you, but we're not going to support unhealthy eating practices. So it has to be healthy. But also we're not going to police you. So we're not going to be you shouldn't have that ice cream, right? This has got to be your thing. And he did it. He has transformed his body. He's lost, mm-hmm. I think 29 pounds right now.
Yeah.
And he looks, it's a total different body type, and he's done it really in a healthy way. And he's been out there running extra laps during practices, and his team has been so supportive of him.
So supportive.
And he's found confidence, but it was hard. And that first game, so they don't have a league based weigh-in. They weigh in every week before the game.
Right. And you get an extra pound each week. But let me just tell you, side note, we did a youth football myths about a couple a year ago. So check that episode out. It's earlier.
Maybe you can link it in the show notes.
But weight limits in youth football are actually becoming more rare.
Right.
We're one of the only leagues kind of left that does it. Most leagues don't do that. What ends up happening is that some parents, some kids may not do it in a healthy way.
Right. And then the other end of the spectrum, you've got kids who maybe don't have the parental support or the education around it, or it's just too hard, or they start too late. Yeah. And so then they don't get to play. They could still practice and be part of the team, but that can be a big blow. And then a year later, they're in high school and all bets are off. And you're
it's the opposite. You're supposed to put weight on.
Yeah. And you're right. Playing against kids that are 3, 350 6'4". And so suddenly it's a weird thing. It's a weird place to be in.
Which is why, the trend is changing to not have weight limits,
right. But our league has a weight limit. And so I forgot what I was going to say because you cut me off.
Sorry.
That's okay.
But he did it, and he's...
Oh, I know what I was going to say. So I'm going to cut you off.
Go.
So the actual weigh-in is every week before the game, 30 minutes before the game. Mm-hmm. And I remember that first game, because it was only 5 weeks ago. You and I had so much anxiety leading up to it. Yeah. And there was nothing we could do about it. Like... it was up to his body, and yeah. he wanted to like do some extra workouts and extra running, and asked us what like changes he could make to his diet the few days before. And we consulted other people, and actually we had some arguments because I was afraid that you and him were being too stringent. And so we did some additional research and got some more guidance, and he did it. But like, it was really hard to sit in that space mm-hmm. of parenting where like, he's going to go step on a scale and we can't be there because parents can't be there. You as a coach can't be there. Like, he's walking into a room with his team, with a representative from our league and a representative from the other team that he's playing. And I have no idea what's going to happen. And is he going to, and I remember sitting across the field, just waiting to see him walk out. And is he going to walk out dejected, or is he like taking off his pads? And because we've all seen that, like we've seen kids not make weight and they walk out of the weigh-in and they take off their pads and take off their jersey and they look really defeated. Yeah. Or am I going to see him like run out and the team cheer? And I saw neither. I actually didn't see him at all. I was like, what's going on? Yeah. And I saw a kid taking off his jersey and I was like, I don't think that's him. What's going on? But it was a really hard place to sit as a parent. And then, you know, he made it. He made weight. He's made weight every weekend. It's and gotten easier.
And he is really good at football.
So good.
Like he's a seventh grader on an eighth grade team. Starting both ways, on both sides of the ball.
Not because you're the coach.
No, goodness, no. Yeah. I am a coach on the team. I'm the offensive line coach, but no, he has earned this himself.
Yeah.
He's the biggest kid in the team, but he's tall and strong and athletic, and losing this weight has made him more athletic and actually has prepared him for basketball season next.
Right.
And like, you know, he'll come in midway through on the laps instead of, you know, the last on the laps. And this is, and mental health wise for him has just been such a change as well.
Right.
He's gotten more social and his friend group is expanding and he feels great and he's just in a better mood. But this was hard. But to go back to the point of the episode and the topic, I'll look back on this experience and have fond memories of it and enjoy. Like, even though it was hard and stressful, and some days it was just like, oh, I don't want to be doing this. I don't want to put him through this. But at the end of the day, it was a good experience. And I'm proud of him. And I'm proud of us as a family. His brother supported him. And he did it, and he will continue to, you know, he's like 5 or 6 pounds under at this point. So we're fine for the rest of the season. But, it was tough and challenging, and he had to do it himself. We were there for him all along the way, but we didn't, you know, dictate, we didn't run it for him.
Well, we didn't
make him do anything he didn't
want.
Yeah,
we couldn't, right?
We have sort of one more hard parenting story we wanted to talk about in this episode, and that is student driving. Talk about stress and hard. But, you know, so anyway, our oldest just got his permit. He turned 16. And, you know, he is, like many 16-year-olds, very... excited about driving, really wanted to get behind the wheel as much as possible. We have two different vehicles in the families, which is good. He's getting lots of different, he's getting different experience driving a smaller sedan and in my truck. But it's scary, Jenny, right?
Oh, it's terrifying. And I had a conversation. This has been, I don't know that anything in life has made me more anxious than this. And I'm having a really, really hard time. And our youngest was like...
I don't mean to be laughing, but it's kind of funny.
Because our youngest the other day was like, yeah, Mom, I was scared sitting in the back seat with you because you were losing your mind. Because it is really scary. And I said to our oldest, like, look, I don't think it's a great idea right now before you've had driver's ed, right? Because in my mind, I always pictured like he'd turn 16, take driver's ed, they would take him driving, and then we would start driving with him.
Yeah.
But because of football, he said, and work, he said he could have started driver's ed over the summer, and he said, I don't want to, because it's going to be like a whole week.
Yeah.
Monday through Friday. And because of some vacations, it would have meant he had to like take extra days off from work. He was like, I just want to work, earn money, and do nothing. and have football practice. And I don't want to do it in the fall with football and school. I want to do it in January when, like, it's my off season and everything's a little bit less stressful. I was like, you're right. But so that means he hasn't technically gone to any classes or technically learned from anybody except for us. So that's not how I pictured it. So we're teaching him. And I said, I want this to be a positive experience for you. And Dad is much better at this than I am. And I don't want to put my anxiety on you and have driving then become this like stressful thing for you. So, so the plan is that he drives with you. But the other night, the four of us went out to dinner after a football game. And he said, Mom, can I drive home? And I was like, remember what we talked about? He's like, but listen, how about the parent that's in the front seat with me, they're in charge. So if you're in the back seat, you don't say anything. And I was like, that's a good idea. It's really hard for me, but I'll give it a try. But it was really, really, really hard. And the other day he was like, why? Why is it so hard? And I said, because you're my baby. He was like, I'm not your baby. I'm 16. And I was like, I know. I'm not saying you are a baby, but you're my baby.
Yes.
And when you're behind the wheel of, I don't know, a 2-ton vehicle that could murder people or get yourself killed or get you arrested, there's nothing I can do.
Yep.
Like, there's no emergency brake. There's no, I can't grab the wheel. I guess I could grab the wheel, but I can't suddenly slam on the brake. Like, you are completely in control. And all I can do is use my words. But there's tons of, you know, a lot of accidents aren't caused by you as the driver. They're caused by the other people run a red light or run a stoplight or swerve into your lane. And there's nothing I can do. And I know that that is sort of the reality in life, right? Mm-hmm. Is that like we can't have our kids in a bubble and we can't always be in control of them and protect them. But we sort of live in ignorance of that and avoid that fact. Yes. But when you're then in a car with them, it's really, really obvious. You can't avoid that fact. So I'm having a really hard time with it. And as a family, we've decided some ways to sort of help him and me. So it's a positive experience.
Right, right.
And him and I, like, we went last weekend. He was like, can we go get Dunks? Dunkin' Donuts, for those of you that aren't in a place of the country that has that. They make really terrible iced tea. But I still drink it every day. And so it was just him and I, and we just drove down there. And I was like, the parking lot's really small, so I'm not comfortable because I haven't seen you, like, park with cars. So let's park in the, like, empty lot next door, and you can walk over. And then we took like the long way home because he asked if we could, and a car pulled out in front of him and I grabbed his arm. But he handled it really well. It was like a nice positive experience. And I know he's told you, like, I want Mom to see that I'm a good driver. Yeah, like, it's important for him that I don't.
He actually really is.
Avoid it. And he is a good driver.
He's like, getting better and better, more comfortable, confident.
No, there's just been a few times where I'm like, you're going too fast. And he's like, I'm driving.
Yeah, he's never wrong, right?
Well, teenagers are never wrong.
You're never wrong.
Yeah. Parents are never right. That's a little bit of a struggle.
Check out our Teenage Brain episode for that, for more on that topic.
You should also link that.
Yeah. Teenage Brain. Teenage brains and driving don't mix that well. But yeah, so that's the challenge, right? That's what makes it hard, is that he's never wrong. When I give him a direction, and we have to always kind of, I always have to remind him when I'm teaching him, buddy, I'm in charge.
Right.
Like, what I say goes, or you can't do this. You know, he's all about trying to drive, you know, one-handed, trying to, like, be cool. He wants to put the music on. And I'm like, all this will come. All this will come. But you have to focus on actually learning how to drive right now. And he's doing so good. Being able to control the vehicle, depending on, you know, both the smaller car and the larger truck. But this is hard. But again, once he's done learning and he's by himself, I'm going to miss teaching him.
I won't. Oh, good God. So that is what happens when this cat scares our dog.
Are you embarrassed, Everett?
He didn't bite her or anything. He just makes this horrible noise.
Wow, go away.
He's a grumpy old man, like, oh. But I think she does it on purpose.
Are you embarrassed, Everett?
He really is. Oh, my
goodness.
He was scared. We live in Crazy Town.
We do.
I don't know.
But I will miss teaching him.
Yeah. So even those hard parts, right? Yeah. Like, and I'm trying to sort of give myself that perspective when I'm at, like, Friday night when we drove home from the restaurant, that perspective of like, here's a moment for him. And friends of ours were sort of in the restaurant. Yeah. And I texted them. I was like, I might die. And they were like, we watched him pull away. He did a really good job, right? Like, there's these moments where this is, we get to watch him grow and gain confidence and do something scary, like back out of a parallel parked spot at night, right? Like in front of a bunch of people that he knows. Mm-hmm. And he did it. And we got to be part of that. But it's really hard to miss out on the positives because you're so focused on the scary part of it, the unknown, the anxiety, the worry, the sadness, the frustration, right?
Yeah.
And so I guess, how do you enjoy the hard parts of parenting? I think you have to sort of stop sometimes, right? Yeah. Like stop and take a breath and have conversations like this with each other, or conversations with your child, or journal about it. Because if you don't stop and reflect, and the Amazon delivery guy sort of did that for us, right? He created space for us to stop and reflect. And maybe that's what this podcast episode is doing for folks, is giving you a moment to just sort of hit pause and take a deep breath and be like, remember, this is temporary. This hard spot you're going through with your kids right now is temporary, and gone, you're gonna miss it. Right? Yeah. And that doesn't mean I really get annoyed when people like tell new moms like, oh, enjoy every minute, hold them every second because you're gonna miss it. I get annoyed because that I feel like puts pressure. Like it's, I'm not saying you're going to enjoy every minute or that you should enjoy every minute, but that there are enjoyable moments even in the hard.
Yeah.
And there are sort of moments that are worth remembering. Yeah. Kind of like the Jim and Pam wedding episode from The Office, because we just watched that and they talked about like taking mental pictures of the day.
Yeah.
Like there are mental pictures in all of these hard moments that are probably worth capturing.
Yeah.
But if you don't slow down, you're not going to know it until you're 78 years old delivering dog allergy chews at 8:30 p.m. on a Saturday night. And then you're reflecting about how much you miss those hard times.
Right. In preparation for this episode, I looked up just to keep a funny, light, thing on this. I looked up funny parenting memes, and there was one I wanted to share. It's funny. This one is a picture of, two siblings on the way to school. They have their backpacks and lunchbox, and one of them saying to the other one, is it just me or did mom seem a little too happy about the first day of school? It's funny. But even then, like those moments where you're excited because the kids are finally out of the house after a long summer, but you'll miss those when they no longer have those first days of school. You'll miss those too. So enjoy the hard moments.
I guess find the enjoyable parts of some of these hard moments. And also give yourself space to say, this part of parenting really stinks right now and I'm having a hard time with that. Like that's okay too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
This is another funny one. I promise to give you love, nurturing, and just enough dysfunction to make you funny.
Wait, since we're sharing memes, my friend Cheryl had a funny one this morning. You should follow her. I think it was Cheryl that did it. I might have just made that up. Well, I do like my friend Cheryl's page.
Which is
No Sick Days for Mom by Cheryl Gottlieb. But who shared it this morning? Hold on. Hold, please. I'm going to find it because now I want to make sure I give them some proper credit. Yeah, I saw it today. It was on this thread.
I can cut this part out.
No, it's okay. Oh, it is from my friend Cheryl, but the other Cheryl. It's Cheryl Donnelly, Empowered Moms and Kids.
Oh.
So her meme says, do you know why you practice breathing during contractions so much? It wasn't just so you were ready for childbirth. It was also to help you prepare for when you have to teach your teen to drive.
Good way to end, Jenny. That's perfect.
it's true. It's all about sort of our own anxiety.
Even when it's hard. That's the theme of today's episode. Anything else for our listening audience today?
No.
All right. That was a nice yawn you had. Sorry. All right, everybody. Well, that's going to do it for today. Thank you so much for listening. For today's show notes links, you can check out Changing Perspectives on Facebook and check out Jenny's article about the Amazon, the special Amazon delivery. Don't forget, everybody, iTunes reviews.
Everybody?
Everybody. iTunes
everybody
reviews.
With your hopsticles.
All right. Everybody, iTunes reviews are featured on the show, so rate and review us so more people can find Changing Perspectives and will read your new reviews over the air. Please follow us on Facebook, everybody, at Changing Perspectives Podcast, and on Instagram at Changing Perspectives Blog. You can send us an email to info@changingperspectivesonline.com. You can also visit the shop at changingperspectivesonline.com and check out all that great Changing Perspectives merchandise. Go ahead and subscribe to the show, everybody, so you'll never miss an episode, and we will see you next time. Say bye, Jenny.
Bye, Jenny.
The Changing Perspectives Podcast is produced, recorded, and edited by Dizzy Bird Studios. Copyright 2021. Please visit Dizzy Bird Studios on Facebook, facebook.com/DizzyBirdStudios.